Good evening and welcome to the show. I'm your host for this evening, Harry Balzac. Mainly as Vantian, as you'll discover later in the show, is rather indisposed, talking to the porcelain microphone until his inner ear stops swirling.
I'm the apology officer and I'm covering for Amelia as, well, she's sent in her apologies for the evening.
I'm Wanker and I think Amelia's been put through enough this year with the Galnet Rares Digest and all that danger, so we'll be bringing something out of the archives.
And I'm Norma Snappers, and, well, I had to rescue Vantion, and the passenger seat of my crate will never be the same again. Nor will the dashboard of my SRV. Nor, to be fair, that planet's surface.
On that note, we better move along for fear of spoilering our own news headlines. The Silly Bee Code.
We've had a letter.
Hutton helps paladins with a cavalcade of carnage.
One can waff in, but can one waff out?
Once again, Vantian loses control.
It's a record collection of LPs.
Reportage from the folk at large.
There's been a slew of people this week asking for copies of old Hutton Orbital radio scripts. Apparently they'd heard something about some blinking dog clan or something, and some sort of giveaway. Naturally, everyone's first thought was that of Hutton, and the notorious Free Anaconda. Here at last, they supposed, hidden in those reams upon reams of impenetrable prose, must be the secret to the famed ship that costs nothing. It must be true, deep down, surely. Why else would the fable of the ship that cannot be launched have lasted throughout the ages, despite the obvious problems with such an arrangement, and the patent willingness of pilgrims to ignore the fact that they know that an anaconda needs a large pad, and they know that outposts don't have one of the aforesaid landing zones? That's the plight of people who've never learned to think critically. They'll believe what they see in social media before they'll trust what scientists say, such as, an anaconda cannot launch from or land on a medium pad. Oh, if Billy from the local Apex Dispatches says in a post that his mate used the search engine Google and showed a video that showed an anaconda taking off from an outpost, then it must be true. We at Hutton are used to the disappointed faces of pilots peering out through their canopy as they arrive at the orbital, only to discover that they cannot land, not even to buy a mug. Their faces stuck in a perpetually quizzical expression as they circle just one more time, looking for a landing pad that is never going to appear. The Hutton Counselling Service has regular clinics for pilots who arrive in a small ship to help them show that their greed outweighed their intellect for just a moment. Or about an hour and a half, to be more accurate. The more astute seekers after hidden truths soon realised that the encrypted messages buried in the scripts actually referred to something that acolytes like referred to as the real world. And that hidden away in every, alright then, almost every, story is a nugget of truth. And that if you can discover what they are and arrange them in the right order, they will lead you to Hutton's at least well-kept secret. That it's all for the mug. And the gin to go in it, of course.
We have received a letter of complaint this week from a Mrs. Lattice of North Wales City and the Atfero system. It reads, Dear Mr. Brubin, I recently bought one of your pre-engineered flat cannons for my nephew as an early Christmas present. I paid extra for the pre-engineering as my relative is a lazy scrote and moans about something called the grind. Imagine his disappointment when he went out to play with some friends after fitting his new toy, which was a lovely shade of red, I must say, and his cannon failed to remove the skin from our newly baked rice pudding. I have to say that I was disgusted to find the word decorative meant that it wouldn't actually do as much damage as a small Catherine wheel, which we were mightily upset didn't contain any Catherines, and my nephew has been taken to hiding in the corner of his cockpit, similarly conspicuously devoid of any cocks, before prying and sucking his thumb again. I would caution you to please use a bold typeface and flashing colours in your naming of items in the future, so that honest citizens aren't troubled by unexpected results, because reading the description is too hard. P.S. I'd also like a refund for the mock turtle soup, as it doesn't actually contain any turtles. We'd like to remind commanders that should one read first, complain second, as it prevents red faces all round. Oh, and to the commander that tried ganking Commander Vantian on his way to Sol earlier, using said weapon, the fireworks were much appreciated, and the detonation when the perpetrator exploded was most entertaining.
There are red flashing lights in the Hutton Situation Room tonight. They're not on the Hutton Tactical Christmas tree, nor, for a nice change, are they on the monitoring board for the biowaste tanks. No, those red lights are a call for aid from one of Hutton's oldest allies, the Paladin Consortium. It appears that person, or more likely, persons unknown, have pulled a Nakatomi Plaza and attacked their systems in the run-up to Christmas. Mercenaries have been seen in both the Nabatine and Sugrivik systems, where they have fueled old tensions, armed disgruntled citizens, and encouraged them to attack gruntled citizens. Bins have been knocked over, images of human genitals have been sprayed on walls, and harsh language has been used. Things have now escalated to full-on war in both systems, and the Paladins have called for help. They need combat-trained pilots and ground soldiers to step in on the side of the Paladin Consortium and give the, as yet unknown but apparently like sausages, enemy a good boot up the arse in both systems. So please put on your steel toe-cap docks, form a disorderly queue and make your way to either Nabatine or Sugrivik to represent the Hutton Truckers in our effort to help out old friends fend off an attack from outside forces who are interfering with the simple rural people of the EG Union and get them all riled up. The Paladins have called. How will Hutton answer? More on Operation Cavalcade later.
Breaking news! Sally, pilot of the PWAF, has escaped! This is a good thing. Apparently, Sally was incarcerated recently through no fault of her own and ran the risk of serving her unjust sentence right over the pink sparkly Christmas season without the comforts of home. Thanks to some insiders in the facility providing her with all the best advice and an outpouring of support, notarised documents stating that Sally is of good character and, of course, plenty of sparkles, she's managed to secure an early release and made her way back to her home base. The galaxy hasn't seen this much of an outpouring of love since the Pilots Federation released a fully engineered lightweight jump drive on the galaxy with bonus engineering baubles, or the Winking Cat handed out free jumpers to everyone with glow-in-the-dark snowmen on them. In all seriousness for a second, we'd like to pass on our eternal thanks to the staff of the facility that Sally visited for applying repair limpets, and we're very glad that she's home again. Stay well, and for the mug.
For tales of adventure, danger, risk and rescue, you can't beat a Hutton distress call. Commander Vantian aboard the Shady Lady had to broadcast an emergency message yesterday after things went, a little pear-shaped on his adventure around the Winking Cat crash ship sites. His log read,
Number 1.
Mayday, mayday, controls offline, I'm going down.
Number 2.
Oh, it's okay, throttle is working.
Number 3.
I'm in an accidental Immelman, thruster's not responding, feel sick.
Number 4.
Ground approaching, viewports report, sky ground, sky ground, sky ground, sky ground.
Number 5.
Throttle not responding. Ground is not getting closer. Feel very sick.
Number 6.
Send help. Lone dart landing imminent.
Number 7.
Ouch.
Number 8.
Being sick. At which point, an emergency signal was received from the Epsilon Eridani system, but it appears that his ship had performed a perfectly executed reverse 2.5 somersault with 2.5 twists before embedding itself into the scenery. Luckily, the ship survived and Commander Vantian was able to disembark safely. The ship was not able to leave the planet's surface due to a complete failure of the control systems. Commanders Flossie and Spodge were the first to respond, heading to the location to provide a quick lift to the next Winking Cat location and the loan of an SRV. Of course, once picked up, Flossie was subjected to the obligatory. So, is this the start of your shift then? And do you go south of the river at this time of night? Which resulted in a thorough panning. The Shady Lady was able to be recovered using the shipboard autopilot and had headed to a nearby dry dock for repairs. Commander Vantian has retired to the bar until such times as the room stops spinning, which, given it's Nicoriolis station, may take some time.
It was a quieter week in Hutton space, with pirates being seen off in several systems to cries akin to, "Get off my land, you black-livered laggard ye! Larry love, where's my slippers?" Like last week, Barnard's star is still on 37% and the unwashed factions are now squabbling in both civil wars and wars that aren't so civil, making it difficult to move much influence. They ought to knock it off in a day or two for the Christmas truce, so keep an eye out for the end of hostilities and then get in there to boost Hutton interests. Epsilon Eridani has a dose of pirates earlier in the week and took a little bit of a hit, dropping from the low 40s to 38, and Trepin is keeping off Santa's coal list by a point on 41. The marketing wizards at Sirius Corporation have been selling us dodgy water filters again, resulting in an infrastructure failure in Avik, so shipping slightly less dodgy water filters and power generators to Bruce Prospect in Avik. It's an outpost, so leave your cutters and T9s in the hangar. In the run-up to the festive season, Hutton has increased its LP collection from 4 to 5. No, not those flat black polymer audio discs you can see in your museum app, but LP715-52. Yes, Operation Jump Into a Dump has delivered once again by popping us into another nondescript system, occupied this time not by one, but two player factions, the Earth Defence Fleet and the Roughnecks. Clearly Alvin is not interested in such a system, so help out Purple Central Network in winning the war as required. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems League, we have six systems above 60%, including the one we want just over 70, which isn't so bad. Again, please don't run missions and dump data into systems that are above 60%. We just end up with random expansions that interrupt our actual plans. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard's star once the wars end in a day or two and ship supplies into Avik to relieve the infrastructure failure. If you want to shoot something, the Paladin Consortium can use a little truckily help in Nabateen and Sugrivik against the invading Hun. Don't they know it's Christmas? Perhaps they do. Actually, ignore that. The Paladins need our help, so drop everything and head to the Nabateen and Sugrivik systems and please, please bring the big guns and not one of those red flat cannons.
Many people in the galaxy are preparing themselves for a few days away from their normal grind, so that there will be a lot more time for the galactic tape. There are still plenty of events that you can get involved with, as this latest list will show you. If you're interested in any of these events, either to watch or to participate, then as usual, links for information will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. If the word mollusk offends you, then put your fingers in your ears for the next couple of minutes, as the Comfy Cannon Cruise is reporting, and Commander Mephisto is no stranger to that word.
Jax.
I know I've got to press the little button thingy first.
What press it?
I've done it. It's okay.
Okay.
The Comfy Cannon Cruise continued its journey back to the bubble with more real mollusks to investigate. Lutolium at waypoint 115 and Lindigotium, who writes this stuff, at number 116. The following two waypoints featured anomalies for a change, P10 and a K02 type. The Lindigotium kind of bell mollusk was the topic for the next waypoint. Next up were planetside features, amorpha plants, which surprisingly look like ancient amphorae, and Punicium brain trees, all in an environment that is too hot to get out on foot. Then anomalies were to be probed again, Q05 type at waypoint 121 and P06 at waypoint 122, reached by Khonsu today. This feature, as well as one of the next waypoints, were pointed out by Commander Cometborn, who noted their recent discovery by Commander Marks that they were quasi on the way of the cruise. Passengers congratulated Commander David HNB for attaining Elite 1, but the presence of the winking cat got him to return to the bubble early. Commander Servalan also couldn't resist, but is already on the way back to Khonsu. Our estimated arrival is the 8th of January 3308 in Varati, ending the expedition that's gone on for over 9 months. Only the observant Commander Illyrium spotted the captain's mistake in last week's report, stating that it was going on for only 6 months. To celebrate the end of the cruise, some plans are to be made. Maybe former passengers or even other commanders want to celebrate with the tourist party as well. Look out for the announcements here and on other channels.
The Wild Wild West expedition has finally returned home, but not before Airman Dan and Analog Kid express their thanks. Their love of poetry and their inability to turn their mic off before coughing in a moving closing ceremony.
All right. Commanders, at long last, we have arrived. 16 weeks of deep space exploration, stellar cartography, discovery, and wonder have brought us all here to this final waypoint of the Wild Wild West. Our journey together has come to an end. And as we celebrate our accomplishments, we also celebrate the season. On behalf of all the scouts, admins, and organizers on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, thank you for being a part of this amazing crew. To everyone who's kept our carriers full, thank you. To everyone who shared their science and screenshots in slaloms, thank you. To everyone who helped etch our waymark onto the galaxy map, thank you. To everyone who celebrated, memorialized, nominated, wandered, flew, jumped, dived, and occasionally exploded with us, thank you. This expedition started as an idea, and you have all made it into something truly wonderful. Co-organizer Analog Kid is here, and I'd like to invite him to say a few words.
Merry Christmas, one and all. It started as an idea. A discussion amongst two friends about two different places in the galaxy that had a special meaning for each. The idea then grew into a scouting mission where a handful of intrepid commanders made their way west to build the framework of the expedition we've all just completed. We're at the end. It's been a ride to both the heights of the galaxy and its depths along our western trail. It's been a tribute to the spirit of exploration that unites us. On behalf of the expedition organizers, the team, I want to thank each and every commander for taking part and making this expedition what it's been. Great fun and a testament to the in-game community of which we are each an indelible part. On a personal note, in relation to V1357 Cygni, my waypoint, it's the in-game location of Cygnus X1, the namesake Rush song, of whom I'm a massive fan, and you really should listen if you haven't already. In the constellation of Cygnus, there lurks a mysterious invisible force, the black hole of Cygnus X1. Six stars of the Northern Cross, in mourning for their sister's loss, in a final flash of glory, never more to grace the night.
Thank you, Analog. With the expedition winding down and people headed their own ways now, remember one thing. Even in the dark of the black, you are never alone. Cherish the friendships and memories you've created here, and set out one day again to make your mark on the universe. You are an explorer, and you live by our motto, Let There Be Light. Thank you all for coming to the closing ceremony. This has been Commander Airman Dan signing off one last time. See you, Starside.
Commander Diluvian needs cheering up by the sound of this latest report. So if you're not doing anything much over the holiday period, why not schlep on out to join the expedition, all the clouds in the sky, and make him realise that being alone isn't the worst thing that can happen out in the black.
Expedition Day 99, we're at the Soul Nebula, currently parked in Soul Sector EL-Y-D7, main star. I was hoping to reposition the carrier close to base camp, an asteroid base station, inside the B1 gas giant belt, but there is no tritium in stock, so it does not seem necessary. We did not come to find Soul Nebula directly from NGC 7538. Oh no, last week I was pretty busy, so for us, as we also visited the Bubble Nebula, NGC 281 and NGC 1491 back in the Formidine Rift region. That brings our current objective count to a lucky number 7. Stunning vistas, but not a lot of exploration, as all of the aforementioned nebulae are pretty small and have none too few systems inside. It feels like Christmas already, at least my regular Christmas, a bit isolated from everyone else. The crew is mostly dormant and I am trying to find time and energy to push us forward. Zodiac feels a bit lifeless and empty, and I am already imagining walking alone along those long corridors and hangars, sitting at the empty helm and hearing only AI responding to my, "Are we there yet?" Loneliness is sometimes a choice, but even in this case, it does not mean that it hurts less. I am not a big fan of this part of the year, and getting myself busy is the best cure. Hence, why you will definitely see more progress before we say goodbye to 3307.
The Magellan Experience is still having fun on their journey, which will eventually reach Magellan Star and an anomalous source synthesis update. The Magellan Experience last week had their final mass launch, in which Commander Richard Fluyans was able to join the expedition after being stuck for 3 weeks in port before finally getting his certification for graduating from a major pilot's institution. Fortunately for Richard, he was able to prevail and graduate. Congratulations, Richard. In the next 4 days after the super successful mass launch, in which two other ASPs attended and proved harder to organise than the 70 people mass launch for another reason, the SWS Lockhart sped through the route and was able to make it to Waypoint 7 just in time for the festivities. These festivities will include a meet-up with Richard that will host this Christmas Eve. Meet-up at 2100 UTC, on the 24th to celebrate another year of success. It will take place in a site discovered by Commander E.T. Talon and Phil P. on the system Blue York PZ-D-D13-11, Body AB, which resembles the Earth-like geographical location of the Great Canyon and its surroundings. The Magellan Experience is in full swing during these holidays, and together with its 187 commanders will remain as one of the memorable trips within the Independent Explorers Association history. Thank you for remaining with us, and remember, this trip is nowhere near the limits of what you can do as an explorer. Good luck, and see you all on Friday to say hi to each other. The fantastically frigid trip to Triffid thought that their troubles were over, as they'd reached their destination and were able to just enjoy the sights. But Commander Richard Fluminez M has told us that all is not well.
The Sidewinder Syndicate has problems back at home. While the expedition is currently on the edge of the Triffid Nebula, pretty busy exploring, defence is needed for the system of Cocorics at home from being taken over by Dark Enterprise while the squadron is away. Expedition members need your help at home by supporting Sidewinder Syndicate influence near Cocorics, as we are really close to get to the fantastic Triffid Nebula and would be ashamed to lose this system while enjoying our exploration vacation. Without any further ado, happy holidays from the fantastical trip to Triffid crew, and we wish you happy holidays and prosperity for all your next year efforts. A big thanks to Hutton Orbital. Hey, that's us, that is. That across the year has given us a spot in their broadcast, and we really appreciate your support, and hopefully we will see more truckers exploring the black together with us next year.
The Nexus Exploration, the exobiology-focused long-range expedition, has had one or two incidents this week, as Commander Omega Megalus tells.
Commander Anthony Hems is on his way to a good recovery. However, when it comes to speed, it can be time-consuming, wishing him well. After recovery of the passengers from the FC Olympus to FC Nimrod, we are en route to the Errant Marches as the stars become more thin. There were recent discussions about how to conduct our operation out in the southwest region of the galaxy, and we came up with a great idea. Sweeping. Now, why the hell would anyone want to sweep the galaxy? Well, we like to keep things clean. In all seriousness, it's been a struggle attempting to do any actual xenobiology work since the damn tool won't work, and with the soon-to-be-released fleet carrier interiors, we would also fail to leave the inside cabin and depart to another galaxy in a fleet carrier too. Or worse, get locked out. Only time will tell. Nexus remains committed to their collaborating team in fellowship with the Fuel Rats and other partnering groups, and so some fleet captains might contribute their FC to the sake of DSSA outposts and RAT outposts to that deep spark part of space. So far, we are slowly but surely succumbing to space madness and will likely not return to the bubble. We kind of have to, I suppose. Lastly, the Nexus team wants to wish everyone a wonderful holiday season and cheers to a new year. See you in the Black Commanders 07.
If you were fretting that you weren't going to have them to complete the Canon Research Speed Scanning Challenge by the end of the year, then you're in luck. LCU No Fool Like One has put down his hand tool for just long enough to send this update. Due to the extended malfunction of the organic scanners in Update 9, Canon have extended their Speed Scanning Challenge to the 14th of January, which allows for a full day-night cycle. The winner gets a rather special Canon coin, and the top three also get Canon Thargoid sample flasks. All you have to do is scan 9 different lifeforms on Tukani Sector AF-A-D-7014E, faster than anyone else on Stellar Data. You will need to record a video of the whole process, which can take as little as 20 minutes if you want to win the prize, or considerably longer if you don't mind losing. You'll have a really good chance of winning something, so go to canon.science and put organic in the search, and you can find all the related posts pertaining to this competition. We've heard news a pair of charity live streams that are taking place on Wednesday, December 29th, featuring Orange Phoenix, those crazy Dutch spellings, old gamers, war books, and someone else whose voice should be very familiar.
Where's Earth?
Seems we have intercepted a transmission of unknown origin.
Human?
Unknown.
Can you see this?
I've never seen anything like it.
I say, old gamer, there's someone called Warbox, and they've appeared on my list. Now, I put them in the wrong column.
Saving it for the 29th. Oh, so is that your cunning plan for the charity stream on the 29th, is it? Yeah, for all those in, if you didn't catch that earlier, myself and older gamer on the Wednesday the 29th of December, we'll be doing a special effect charity stream. We'll each be streaming separately. But like a crossover stream. And yeah, apparently older gamer is going to make sure Warbucks kills me. Thanks for that. Have a good night, older gamer. Okay, well.
From all of us at Special Effects.
As you emerge from the post-holiday excesses, maybe it's time to do something different and go on an expedition. You could do a lot worse than join New Year New Discoveries 3308, which departs January the 2nd. Commanders Aberich and Luna Sidhara want to welcome you to their party.
Once again, we arrive at New Year New Discoveries with our lovely group, Alchemy Den. With our souls fired up for a heartwarming, fun-filled expedition, we turn our ship's bows to the sunrise for a gratifying start to our expedition and welcome all who wish to join. We will be visiting some unique places in the galaxy with some special events along the two-month journey. If you don't think you want to fly the whole way, we've got you covered with the Alchemy Den fleet carrier, Lunar Hyperlight, primed and ready to ferry you and all your ships through the countless stars on our journey. See you then.
Another way to start the new year, the celebration of Early Astronomy 4 expedition will set off on January the 8th, 3308. An expedition to see the systems whose names you've only seen in books up to now. But here's your chance to get an eyeful of what they really look like. Commander Kezika sent this greeting. Happy holidays from CEA. Just over 2 weeks now until the start of celebration of Early Astronomy 4. Find out more or sign up at theexpedition.info. Enjoy yourself during the festive period out there in the galaxy. And if you want company, there's all those events that you can join. Email itookpart@huttonorbital.com if you know of any we've missed.